What are you listening to? This is the DNA sequence of the human chromosome 1. The data in this chromosome has been translated into notes and played back. This sonification of DNA information isn't new. Just search online for protein music, and you'll see many takes on the approach of making our genes into music. Susumu Ono, geneticist and evolutionary biologist, was one of the earliest pioneers of this approach. While not a musician himself, his wife was, and this had an influence on some of his work. He did wind up making music with DNA information. But Dr. Ono is more famous for a different reason. He popularized the phrase junk DNA. DNA are the nucleic acids that carry genetic instructions of living organisms, the small molecules that wind up determining things like your eye color. They're called the building blocks of life. Junk DNA is a certain kind of DNA. It doesn't create proteins. More than 98% of the DNA in humans falls under this classification. If you search for information about junk DNA, you'll see lots of articles and some books about the hidden secrets inside of junk DNA. Plenty of pop science pieces and some interesting books. But there's also an anti-evolution creationist agenda that can be at play for countless YouTube videos when you search for the phrase junk DNA. An intelligent designer concept isn't really compatible with the idea of vast amounts of junk in our genes. So this chance to call out evolutionary biologists as incorrect has been a boon for those opposed to the idea of evolution. But there is plenty to challenge in the phrasing of junk DNA. Since it was coined in the 70s, we've learned more about this part of our genetic code, and some of what had been previously considered junk, we now know helps in the translating and transcribing of other DNA, as well as using repetition to scaffold or protect and maintain specific sequences and prevent deterioration during DNA replication. Though some of this rehabilitation of the phrase has resulted in a back and forth between researchers. When the Encyclopedia of DNA Elements, or ENCODE project for short, made a claim that in actuality over 80% of the human genome is quote-unquote biochemically functional, there was pushback. Buried in white papers on genetic research, I found a debate on what constitutes the true definition of value, function, and usefulness. When talking to genetic researchers for answers and clarification to ask what they thought about the true function of junk DNA, I heard a lot of frustration with how journalists and the public talk about science. In trying to learn about DNA and junk DNA, I came across lots of metaphors to explain what was going on. Things like, imagine a factory that makes cars, staffed by 100 people, but only 2 people out of that 100 actually make the cars. The remaining 98 people are like our junk DNA, and other depictions of our genetic code as works of Shakespeare, or DNA helixes as 2 rails of a train track. So when I asked the experts what metaphors they might use, they were hesitant to just fire off at the hip. There were lots of qualifiers in their wording and concerns of me misinterpreting their statements. I was told by one researcher, "Certainly the words junk and function are imprecise and rhetorically loaded. Organisms do seem to have a lot of DNA that is, quote unquote, low information content in a mathematical sense, but it's typically unclear in what contexts such regions are dispensable and under what living conditions." The big junk DNA disagreement that I had been reading about seemed to stem from very specific claims from molecular evolutionists in regards to investigating evidence of natural selection in genomes. Between scientists, it seems that terms like junk or useless could get thrown around, but only within an understanding that simply there is so much that we don't know. Things that seem inconsequential today might be found to have immense ramifications tomorrow, and previous set theories can get challenged and thrown into the scientific junk bin. But the process of making those changes doesn't always invalidate what we already know. We can test established theories and see that they still stand. We can look into vestigial, seemingly inactive parts of our genetic code and realize if we replaced them with something else, we would still be us. This was a particular mindset that I found. The facts are the facts, no matter if you believe in them or not, but the facts can be investigated and new facts can come along. This combination of sure-footed confidence and constant questioning isn't at odds for them. It's actually what the science is all about. Science should be a verb, I was told by Dr. Oliver Medvedik. The discovery of junk, questioning of its status as junk, and the questioning of the questioning is what science is all about. When you do the work and perform the experiments to gain new knowledge, it's the act of doing, the act of investigating, that is the true act of science in his eyes. So back to the music. Why is this the sound of human chromosome 1? I used a software program called Bio2 MIDI to create musical scores based off of the coding of chromosomes. The G, A, C, T nucleotides are mapped to certain notes. But this is just the default mapping of notes that the software sets at the beginning. In the preferences, I could change the settings in different ways. What feels more like human chromosome 1 to you? And once we've settled on a score, we still have the voice of the instrument. A score can be written, but played back by piano or violin or the human voice or a synthesizer. And that synthesizer can have different qualities to it as well. And then the speed of the playback makes a difference too. For this project, I wanted to create a score with DNA, but I didn't know what specific parameters I would use to interpret it. What mapping? What speed? What voice? A slow, soft sequence could be good for talking over, but it might get a little boring. A faster sequence with quick hits might be able to outline certain repetitions better. So I wasn't sure what to settle on. I wound up letting the sequence play as I changed the parameters and turned knobs and constantly questioned if what I had was good and learning what worked along the way. I'd like to make art a verb in the same way Oliver Medvedik thought about science. Thing we do that can affirm what we know or totally upend it. A constant iteration and adding to a greater discourse. An impulse to dive into a pile of junk simply because we recognize it as a piece of the unknown. And who knows what we'll find there.